It's eerie, ethereal, dark, and foreboding. Hans Zimmer's score for Ron Howard's film The Da Vinci Code was just released, pumping up even more anticipation for the film's opening later this week. Zimmer is one of Hollywood's best-known and busiest composers, with over 100 films to his credit, including Gladiator, The Thin Red Line, Batman Begins, and The Lion King, for which he won a 1994 Academy Award. We've talked about a number of his scores in our annual series on Oscar-nominated music with Andy Trudeau. Today, we talk to the composer himself. Hans Zimmer is in our NPR West studios. Thanks a lot for your time. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
This is a big score. How big was the orchestra?
I never quite counted. I think Ron counted. I think we had 99 people in the room. Okay, I know. I should have added the extra person, I know, just to make it a round number. But it just so happens that that's all I needed,
yeah.
99.
Well, this huge orchestra, it's interesting because this is not a score that comes with a pound of sound. This is something that's very atmospheric, perhaps more than anything else. Was that your intention?
Totally. I think people don't really know this, but you don't make a loud noise because you have 99 people in the room. If you get 99 people to be very quietly and play very focused, you get just this sort of remarkable tension in everything and just a remarkable beauty out of the instruments.
Did you use a lot of strings? And there are a lot of stringed arrangements in
this
score.
A lot of strings.
Yeah. Why? What was it that the strings provided in terms of the score for this particular film?
And especially because the strings are sort of weighted down towards the bottom end more. There are more basses and more cellos than you'd usually have in an orchestra. As soon as you put a lot of brass players in, it all starts sounding like an action score, and I just didn't want to do that.
This is also a score that has a lot of suspense and a lot of anxiety, and there's something about the sound of strings that conveys that.
For me, the interesting part was that strings are very agile, and one of the things I wanted to get across in this score was the idea that watching a man think, using his intellect, using his brain, is actually an exciting occurrence, that can be as exciting as a car chase. And the agility of intellect, the agility of strings playing, I thought was the right thing for the character. I mean, I felt it was the right thing to do. I never quite justified it. I just thought, as soon as I start in with a large brass section early on in this movie, I'll be hopelessly mired in Hollywood tradition of how you do these things, and it'll sound like a biblical epic, which is not what I wanted to do.
You said, for better or worse, I tend to become the characters in the film I'm working on, and part of writing is putting yourself inside the character. Did you get inside the head of Robert Langdon, which is the character played by Tom Hanks, or Silas, the albino monk, which is played by Paul Bettany?
Yes, why did I take this on? I mean, I didn't take it on because it's a controversial book or because it's a big hit or anything like this. But I thought in my way and in my language, which is far more secretive and can be far less, overtly controversial than the language Dan Brown has to resort to, I could explore this idea or different ideas that interest me, the ideas of faith, the ideas of how do you make a movie where people are talking a lot as opposed to car chases, how do you get into the heart or the mind of a character like the Silas character? The first thing I said to Ron was, I'm not going to make him into the bad guy. I'm going to write very respectful music for him, actually.
Did you read the book?
Of course I did. I spend a lot of time on aeroplanes.
Were you hearing things as you were reading it, knowing you were going to do the movie?
No. I didn't. No, I read the book before I even was considering the movie. In fact, I didn't know Ron was doing it. I mean, we were just having a conversation about something completely different, and I said, "Oh, what are you doing next?" And he said, "Oh, Da Vinci Code." And I went, oh, that'll be tricky. It's all exposition, you know, where are the cinematic elements? And I just started thinking, you know, I mean, it just also, all this stuff poured out of my mouth, how impossible it would be to make into a movie. You know, and I suddenly went, oh, but hang on a second, music could be helpful here to tell those things you can't elegantly tell in words and pictures.
Did you get nervous before you played it for him?
Of course, you know. Here's my child. I'm presenting it to all of you people to go and be really critical of. You know, yes, great idea.
There's parts of it where you really, you know, I could feel myself inside something with big vaulted ceilings and stained glass windows.
Actually, I recorded it in a beautiful church.
You did?
With big vaulted ceilings and stained glass windows.
What is the process like with you? How do you work with Ron, as opposed to other directors you've worked with? I mean, given the number of films that you've done, Ridley Scott, you know, people like that.
You know, it starts off with a conversation, and I have a big mouth, and I think, you know, I mean, literally that first conversation, oh, Ron, I don't know how you're going to pull that off. It's all exposition. We had a dinner in London. There were two other people there. It started at 7 o'clock in the evening. They were got completely ignored, and I think at about 2 o'clock at night, we were still talking about ideas and da da da. What I love about what we do is having somebody who is willing to go on this journey of exploring something with you, you know. And when you can't come up with the idea, he will come up with the idea, or he'll recognize something in. I mean, there's a perfect example of this. There's a car chase in the movie. I had no idea what to do with it, so I went. You know, I wrote a car chase. I know how to write car chases. It's a dull thing to admit to, but I know how to write car chases. And so it was just another pedestrian car chase. And Ron said, you know, there's a little bit in your suite. You know, can we just lay that up? And it had no rhythm. All it had was a romantic, emotional tone to it. It was the opposite to an action cue. And we just put it up, and it was absolutely magical. And I would never have thought of it. And you know, and it's great having somebody else who makes you look like a genius sometimes.
How long did you have to do the score?
Well, you know, I think I'm really the person who put the word pro into procrastination. Like always, at the last moment, I started actually really writing to picture. But I was really writing from August, September on, and then really started to get down to the, you know, the nitty gritty of actually making these ideas fit to the picture in January. Long enough, put it that way. You know,
you have another big score in the works: Pirates of the Caribbean, yeah. Dead Man's Chest. It opens in July, which has got to be a different. Style.
I wish you wouldn't have said it opens in July. That seems so very soon.
You're on deadline, are you?
And I wish you wouldn't use the word dead either. I mean, you're not doing well here.
I'm sorry. I'm terribly
right,
sorry.
Okay. Yes, I'm talking to you, and I feel incredibly guilty. You know, here's the other thing. Being a great procrastinator, somebody on the I overhear somebody in the production say, oh, but he'll get it done. He'll get the idea. And I'm forever trying to say to them, but what if I don't come up with the good idea? You know, I get up in the morning, and most mornings I can't think of the great idea. You know, I actually did write the themes for the first Pirates movie, but they all got written in one day and one night. Now, I'm not saying that makes them good or bad. I'm just saying I did manage to come up with a whole load of ideas in one day and one night. Mm. So I don't know why this one's taking me so much longer.
But you love your work, admit it.
Oh, completely. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
Hans Zimmer, he wrote the score for The Da Vinci Code, which premieres this week. The soundtrack CD is already in the music stores. He joined us from the studios of NPR West. Mr. Zimmer, thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you. Great pleasure.
And here's a question for you. Does Hans Zimmer prefer working with electronics or a live orchestra? Find the answer at our website, npr.org. You can also listen to excerpts from his score.